الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Generally, when you look in life and you look at what people expect from others, people want 100%, or at least close to 100%. So, for example, if you pay, $10 and apples are running, $1 for every apple, then you expect to get 10 apples. And if you get even one less, and you go back to the cashier and say, well, I gave you $10 and you only gave me 9 apples. I'm missing an apple. And the more you pay or the more you invest in something, the more you expect, because it becomes much more and much more important. For example, if you pay $200 a night or $300 a night to stay at the hotel, or at a particular hotel, then you expect a certain degree of service, a certain degree of cleanliness. So if there's a cockroach in the room, it becomes a much bigger deal. You say, I paid $300 for this night, right? How can you have cockroaches? How can you have don't your staff clean? So generally, when it comes to things, in the world. So generally, when it comes to things in the world, then people expect something for whatever they put in. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Azza wa Jal, He gave us everything, right? And He actually bought us. It actually comes in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bought us despite our own defects. He bought the believers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَأَمْوَالُهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. He has bought themselves and all of their wealth in replacement for Jannah. But on the other hand, so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also expects something. If He has purchased us, right, if he has taken us, then He also expects something in return. What does He expect from us? He also expects that we should try to do 100%. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Udkhulu fi silmi kafa," enter into Islam, all of it, there is a call to the believer to shoot for 100%. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so Rahman, He is so Rahim, that He doesn't necessarily expect us to give up and to be 100%. He expects us definitely to try. Right, definitely to try, at least to keep the goal to be at 100%. And the reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so Rahim, He's so Rahman, Allahu Akbar. To begin with, if anyone sees that something in the market which is, damaged or defective in some way, they never buy it. Right? You never buy it. You go to buy a new car and it has scratches all over it, you never buy it. This is a used car. And you pay half or three-fourths the price that you would pay for a new car, because you said, it's all damaged, there's no way I'm going to buy this. You go to the produce section and you see an apple which has, an area which is rotted out, you never buy that apple. Right? But despite of all our defects, right? Despite all our defects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bought the Muslimin. He bought the mu'mins. So He had no need for us, and yet He bought us all the same. And He paid such a high price. Such a high price. Right? What is the price that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paid? He paid Jannah. There's nothing like it on earth. Right? Even the person who has the least amount of Jannah in Jannah has 10 times of the earth and everything in it. So such a high price for something which is so defective as our own selves. So right from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already you know, setting the stage to show that he's Rahman. He's Rahman to begin with. So when he says that, fine, I paid you, you know, I paid you Jannah, then I want 100%. And he tells you, udkhulu fi silmi kafa. At the same time, there's an understanding that even if you fall short, right, even if you fall short, Jannah is still yours. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so Rahman, he's so Rahim. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhal al Jannah. Whoever says La ilaha illallah, he will enter into Jannah. Right? Even if you messed up big time in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that's him. Right? He's so merciful. But at the same time, he wanted to set a certain expectation. And the expectation is that you should try to perform your best. Fisil mikafa. Right? You have to get into all of it. So you can't be that I'm going to do a part of Islam and not do a part of Islam. And we've talked about this before, perhaps. We should strive for 100%, right? So for example, you know, you go to in corporate America and they strive for 100% customer satisfaction, right? 100%. Every customer should be satisfied and we should exceed expectations. This shouldn't be from our side, our attitude. Now, leave alone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so, you know, easy on his side and he's so forgiving on his side and he's so merciful on his own side. And then even if we mess up and fall short of that, that he might let us go. That's from Allah's side, but from our side, we should seek to exceed expectations. So that was the first thing, right? That from our side, we should at least shoot for 100%. And the next thing is that when you start shooting for 100%, and many people, you know, we try to live a righteous life, we try to live, you know, stay away from sins, but there's a couple of things that sometimes become an obstacle in that path. Number one is when you don't shoot for 100%. So for a lot of people, if you know, they just look into, you just look into your life, there's one or two things that people say, well, I'm never going to do that. Right? For some person, it might be, you know, growing a beard. For a person, another sister, it might be wearing hijab. For another person, it might be forgiving someone that you got into a really bad fight with. Right, for another person, it might be, you know, it could be a myriad amount of things. But you know, there's generally, for many people, there's one sector in their life. For some people, it'd be, for example, when I go to work to, you know, stand up and pray, even if everyone's looking at me, you're like, I just don't have the strength to do that, right? Or you know, if you're driving somewhere and just stop over on the side of the road and not miss a prayer, right? Whatever it may be, and whoever you one may be. There's generally some things in some person's life where they surrender. Right? They surrender, it's like, that's not happening. As soon as you surrender in that category, you're moving the target from udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Right? You're moving away from, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I want 100%. Right? And you're not delivering on your purchase, on the purchase. Right? We've already been purchased by Allah. We sign the contract when we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And then we're reneging on it by not trying to do everything. And one thing is that you say that, one thing is you have a company policy, right? Your company policy is, you know, we aim to please. That's the company policy. So if someone, you know, and the company policy is that we're going to be fair in our measure. So if someone pays a certain amount, we're going to give them that much. But imagine someone who makes their company policy that anytime someone buys something from us, we're only going to give them 90% of what they pay for, right? So if you're a gas station, you say that we're going to put 10%, we're going to mix it with some other, you know, mixture, and then we'll sell it, and that way we save 10%. And that's our company policy. Now, if anyone finds out, right, that happened, right, that's a big deal. They're going to close the company, the weights and measures are going to get, you know, involved. And that's serious trouble, because the company policy was defective to begin with. So if each one of us, we're running a company too, it's the company of our life, and we should never set the company policy, right, that we be deceptive, that we deliver less than 100%, right, less than 100%. We should always be 100% for Allah. So that's one thing. Never rationalize that, you know, never make it your company policy not to deliver. The second, that actually leads into the next thing. The next thing is that sometimes people say that, okay, fine, I'm going to try to deliver 100%. But then there's one or two categories in their life, ooh, it's such a struggle. For some people it's internet, for some people it's controlling their gaze, for some people it's having their heart clean for others, for some people it's backbiting, for some people it's envy, for some people it's, you know, their own arrogance, for some people it is, you know, getting up for tahajjud every night, for, you know, whatever it may be. People have sometimes their own demons in their closets, right? For some people it's hypocrisy. And those demons in the closet, they struggle and struggle and struggle, and it seems that every time they fight the battle, they always fail. Right? Every time they fight the battle, they always fail. And when a person does this, they say, okay, fine, then I'm, you know, I really need to rectify myself. I'm going to enter into... and sometimes this is this continuous failure, sometimes what drives people to tawaf, because they said, I've tried for, you know, 5 years on my own and I'm not able to do it. And, you know, at least let me, you know, get some help. Because people have just been struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling, and they just can't do it. So what do you do in that situation, right? Now, this situation is a little bit different, because your company policy here now, right, or your personal policy, is that you want to deliver 100%. But the thing is that you're just too weak, or you're not strong enough, right? Or a person might, you know, falter or slip. And that, a certain amount of that is admissible, right? Actually, a lot of that is admissible in the deen. Right? A lot of that is admissible in the deen. And a person shouldn't feel despondent when that happens. What shaitan tries to do is that when a person fails on something for a year, 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years, then he says that, look, you're just a total failure, you're never going to deliver, just change your company policy. Just change the company policy, just change your personal policy, just forget about it. No big deal, at least you can go do something else. And sometimes, right, shaitan even gets people to close the business altogether. Right? He says, you have such terrible service, you're such a terrible servant, right? Forget about the deen, just do whatever you want. Right? Why are you going to even bother? And some people close the business. And the most surefire way to become bankrupt is to close your business. Right? That's the way your business fails. One thing is you come and get closed down by the government. Right? Sometimes that won't even close you down quick enough, as much as when you close your own business down. Right? Then you just crash. This is the way the shaitan gets a lot of people. A lot of people. How does one deal with this? So, number one, a person needs to realize sometimes it's not always, the success doesn't always lie in succeeding, it lies in trying. That's the first thing to sort of remember. So the very struggle that one goes through every day, that is a success. Every day that you spend struggling to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is from the tawfiq of Allah. Right? People think that, well, I'm still falling into the sin, right? And I'm still fighting my nafs. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person tawfiq to actually fight against their nafs when there's hundreds of people out there who just don't care, right? Who've closed shop, right? Your business is still running. The fact that your business is still running, the fact that you still have a company policy that seeks to hit 100% in an era, right, where either people don't have businesses open, right, where there's spiritual economy is in a downturn, or where they predicate themselves on deception, meaning that, you know, they do some and they leave some. The fact that you can keep open a honest business, even though it might not run very well, is a mercy. Every single day that you struggle, every single day that you fight yourself, every single day that you tell yourself no, that Allah gave you tawfiq or hidayah to say no, a person shouldn't necessarily feel down about that, a person should feel grateful to Allah. And that should you should use that as an impetus the next day to try harder. Right? Because every day is a new day. Every day is, and you never know, like that's the way deen works. People think that, oh, I've tried for 3 years, I haven't been able to get rid of it. You know, what's the point of trying tomorrow? The second principle is that you just have to understand that these things are not linear. Right? It doesn't mean that, oh, I have to, I watch 5 hours of internet right? So now over 1 year, I went down to 2.5 hours. So the next year, my rate is half per year. So every year I have to go all down. No, Deen doesn't work like that, right? It's not a mathematical equation. A person struggles. Sometimes it might even get worse. And then they make that one dua, right? Where they're just really sincere and they make tawbah to Allah and Allah takes them out. It's just a moment, right? And it's over. But that moment comes after sometimes years of struggle. And that's what people don't see, right? They think that, I've been struggling so long, I'm not getting anywhere, I might as well give up. But the idea is that you never give up. You never give up because you never know that tomorrow might be the day you succeed. Right, tomorrow you might get the faith. That one client that will make you a millionaire. That's the next thing. The second or third thing, where people actually mess up. You see, in Arabic, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsi, that a man he analogizes upon his own self. Meaning that when a person looks at the world, he looks at it through his own eyes. The way that he would deal with others, the way that he would perceive things, he expects other people to also be like that. So if a person is very innocent and very innocent about the way he goes about life, he also thinks that other people also don't have any ulterior motives, right? And if a person is very conniving and always machinating, has all these machinations and he's very clever, then he also, when a sincere person comes to him, he says, what is he thinking, right? He wants something from me. He's always like calculating. So, no, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsi. One of the problems that people run into is that they apply this whole analogizing others upon one's own self to Allah. Right? What do I mean by that? Now, for example, if someone messes up with you, right, or someone does something bad to you, then what do? We say that, okay, fine, we're nice people, we're good Muslims, we care about others, we'll let them go. But if they do a second time, third time, fourth time, we're like, man, that's too much. Right? There's no way I would let them go. People think that this same equation applies to Allah. Right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put up with enough of my transgressions, enough of my oppression, enough of my, wayward ways for a certain period of time, but then there's this one line where it's just too much. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put up with that? Let me just tell you very clearly, a person cannot imagine, right? First of all, let alone push, a person cannot even imagine the extent of Allah's mercy. Right? A person cannot sin so much that he will outstrip the mercy of Allah. It's impossible. Right? It's impossible. You cannot sin so much that you will outstrip the mercy of Allah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wants to punish His servants, He can punish them at any point. But by and large, the principle is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasi'at kulla shay. It encompasses everything. So there actually, this verse actually came to mind a little bit earlier today. And actually has sort of an interesting meaning in the light of, I guess, today's opening discussion, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qul, ya ibadi alladhina asrafu," He said, "Oh my servants," right? "Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu," those who have transgressed ala anfusihim, on against their own self. "La taqnatu min rahmatillah," do not despair, do not become despondent from the mercy of Allah. A person just hears the verse and thinks it's just a regular verse. It's so deep. First, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the slaves as. Right? He says, "Qul ya ibadi." He said, "Oh my servants, oh my slaves." Meaning that even if your servitude or your service, right, you have a company that you're running, and I paid you a jannah, I bought you, you're supposed to be providing a service to me, right, which is my ibadah, so on and so forth. If your service is subpar, right? Even if you're such a terrible employee that you deserve to get fired, right? You're still my employee. Right? You're mine. I'm not going to get rid of you. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. He said, "My slaves." The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so much love in it. There's so much mercy in it. that, you know, you messed up, right? You've been messing up for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years of your life. It doesn't matter. You're still my abd. You're still my slave. And he says, he even qualifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, what it means, what type of slaves we are. He said, أَلَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have, israf is to waste, right? You could say to waste. But over here we would say to transgress, right? Because when you're wasting, you're also transgressing. You're passing bounds. You know, in a certain place, if you're only supposed to spend, $1, right? And a person spends $100, then they've transgressed the bounds that they were supposed to. They've passed the parameters that they were supposed to. So sometimes, you know, wastefulness is a type of transgression. Ya ayyubadiya alladhina asrafu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say that, you know, you've done israf against me. Right? He said, ala anfusim. You're messing up your own lives. Right? So much rahmah in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if someone doesn't do something for me after I've actually paid the full on that, you know, particular commodity or that particular service, I'll say, I paid you this and you haven't done this to me. Right? You haven't given this to me. It becomes personal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much rahmah. First of all, He has no need for us. And number two, He has so much rahmah in us. Even when He's addressing, He doesn't make us feel so bad that, you know, Allahu Akbar, that Ya Allah, we're doing this against you. He said, Ala anfusihim, you've transgressed, you've done israf on your own self. Right? And then right after that, He says, even despite all that, He gives a direct order. Right? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. He said, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Meaning that, right, there's a direct order that I'm telling you, I'm your boss, right, and I'm telling you, you're my employee, right, and don't worry about it. And I'm ordering you, you better not worry about it, right, don't worry about it, my mercy is vast. So, I mean, a person should worry, I shouldn't say that, but you should not despair, meaning that don't give up on my mercy. And so this whole concept of a person, you know, analogizing on themselves that, you know, I've done so much, you know, I've gone way, I've womanized so much, I've drank so much wine, I've looked at my eyes have gone so dirty, how can Allah ever forgive me, right? You don't have to worry about that because Allah gave you a direct order not to worry, but He did give us a direct order that not to despair, right? He said, I'll take care of it, don't worry. Just keep your business open. So that take-home message, right, for today is that we should strive to keep our spiritual businesses open, our religious business, because we're not dealing with our soul and we're dealing in the akhirah. Our spiritual business open even if there's an ailing economy. Number two, we should always strive for 100% satisfaction, client satisfaction. And our client is who? It's Allah. Right, because He's the one who bought us. We should strive our best to satisfy and, you know, accomplish everything within the deen. And number three, that even if we fall short, right, understand that we've signed a contract and inshallah we'll be permanent employees, right, at least from our side. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us as permanent employees, right, despite our shortcomings, despite our failings, that He always keep us employed with Him and that we always look to His mercy to accept us and to give us a fruitful business and one that does not know any decline. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.